Welcome to One Nation Radio, hosted by Richard Ladd and James Boyd. If you would like to become a part of the nation, email us at radio1nation@gmail.com. You can contact us using Twitter at One Nation Radio, at DangerRich32, or at JamesBoydONR. We are also on iTunes as well. You can go to onenationradio.podomatic.com and subscribe to the shows with the iTunes button on the right-hand side. And after all that, go visit foreverwrestling.tumblr.com for instant streaming, much more. Now that you've heard how to reach us, let's get to the show.
One Nation Radio.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
Welcome back to One Nation Radio. This is Richard Latta, one of your hosts. I'm sitting here with James Boy. James, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just excited to get back to wrestling podcast. Been a while, and all of it's been my fault, so I apologize, and now we're back.
Yeah, we have been January since Royal Rumble, or
it had to be since before January.
Yeah, it was something like Royal Rumble. We've been, you know, working hard to catch up and get James all caught up. I've been trying to keep him in the loop, you know, with the storylines and, you know, all that. We're going to kind of pick it up from Money in the Bank moving forward. That just kind of ended abruptly. But our main event for SummerSlam, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan.
You sure it's going to be the main event? You sure it's not going to be Lesnar, CM Punk?
It could be. Well, for the championship match, let's just say that.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
The WWE championship match, John Cena versus Daniel Bryan. Yes. 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 I think it's... Were you watching the show where he actually picked him?
Yeah. I'm watching the show again, Rich. Yes, I'm watching the shows again, yeah.
I had to check, you know. The way they had it set up, it was almost like a game show type. Like, I think they pretty much buried the entire roster right there. Like, all was just sitting there, just wishing, just pick me. Like, why is Del Rio out there? Like,
yeah, and
like,
he has a belt on.
Yeah, he has a belt on. You know, like, you didn't see the Shield out there.
Nope.
You know.
But you know, they. I guess based off the storyline, they can't have the Shield be around a group of the.
I didn't see Undertaker out there.
That's my point. Like, you can't have them... Like, you didn't see Kane either, but, I mean, Kane got handled by the Wyatt family.
We'll get to that later.
But, yeah, we definitely get to that later. But, I mean, they basically had to keep the circle set up to where they got to stay in character, because if the Shield came out there amongst the WWE roster, WWE roster would have to whoop their ass on sight, because they've been out here dragging on people for the better part of... Or since November, right?
Yeah, since Survivor Series. The whole thing with the respect to Beard and Daniel Bryan's breakthrough to being this main event caliber superstar, he has been on an incredible roll for the better part of a year and a half now.
Let's see, since he won the title, yeah, it's actually been more than a year and a half.
It's been since
December of 2011.
11, yep. And which it... It kind of spun off.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of spun off the CM Punk thing, pretty much. I think Daniel Bryan is pretty much getting his shot because they saw the success of CM Punk. And Daniel Bryan, while not exactly the same as CM Punk, he has his own kind of unique, you know, we haven't seen Punk with the comedy Daniel Bryan's had. While Punk is very, you know, funny, Daniel Bryan's like on like another level with the comedy and then getting everyone involved with him. He's now going to be fighting for the belt. It's not his first time fighting for the belt, obviously, but, you know, last year, you know.
Nobody really thought he had really had a chance of winning it.
Now, it's like, is there anybody more over than him? Like,
right now, currently, no. With dealing with CM Punk coming back after being gone for 2 months and coming back as a face and him being, you know, away from the belt effectively, what's been going on? Between Jericho and now being put on Lesnar, he's definitely... Those 2 months hurt him. I mean, I don't mean as far as his popularity, but as far as, you know, where he stands, as far as the hierarchy. Like, you can't be number one guy after being gone for two months. It just doesn't happen. Not now, anyway. You could that could happen 15, 20 years ago, not now.
Yeah, like we saw Bret Hart take a whole summer off and, you know, jump right back in it.
Yeah, you have Shawn Michaels lose his smile and come back, hurt his knee and come back, get accosted and come back, hurt his back and come back. But that those days are over.
We'll move on without your dumbass. Like,
pretty much. They have to have contingency plans in place. And
Daniel Bryan was a hell of a backup plan.
No, I mean, I don't think necessarily as a backup plan as much as he sold the show, because you got to think for the year. Seeing that he's not selling you a revolution the way CM Punk sold you a revolution.
Yeah, because boy, CM Punk would just talk you into thinking like the entire company's about to change. Like,
like I remember while listening to somebody was giving a critique of the Magna Carta Holy Grail album, and they were basically saying Jay-Z always gave you the feeling of revolution, that he was selling you that he was selling you this type of revolution. Meanwhile, like, nah, he actually was just selling T-shirts. No. CM Punk at the same time, it's kind of the same thing. Obviously, it's wrestling. What, it's all a sale, but over time, it's like, all right, it's time to move on to something new. And with Brian's his ascension, it's been all about him shrewdly doing things, like just shrewdly marketing
whatever they've given him,
and just being a great comic with everything he's trying to do. Like, you throw in the yes, yes, yes chant, he turns to a whiny heel after he gets the belt. Leading up to the 18-second loss, he continued.
Fans being outraged.
Yeah, the internet basically losing their minds about it, and bizarre world that happens the night after every WrestleMania gets behind him, much the way that this year it was with Ziggler cashing in.
Yeah.
You go on to where he's carrying. He goes on with the he gets lifted up to face CM Punk in two matches. Pay-per-view matches, and obviously, it wasn't right for him. It wasn't right for his time to go over. And flash forward, that he gets into the love triangle thing goes on, where he gets to Kane at SummerSlam, and then they become a tag team. And the anger management, promos were excellent,
mm-hmm.
and to the point to where throughout parts of the end of the year, it was pretty Raw and SmackDown pretty much the Hell No show.
Right.
They
held the belts for 8 months.
Yeah, they were entertaining the whole way through, and they there's a point where they dissolve. Brian is just putting on wrestling clinics in the ring right now. So far, he's in ring performer of the year for me, and now we're here, and he runs a gauntlet match the other night or 2 weeks ago with Ryback, Swagger, and Cesaro. And, I mean, it's the like, Daniel Bryan show on Raw.
And has John Cena, felt as, unimportant or as ever? Like, he's just kind of, lurking in the background, not really saying much. And it's weird how on these face-versus-face feuds where they don't really want to go at each other. I'm having questions about Cena as a champion right now. It makes all the sense in the world for Daniel Bryan to walk away with the belt.
At this point, yes.
Because this is the first real interesting thing that Cena has had since WrestleMania with the belt.
Obviously I'm foggy when it comes to the Ryback build, but the matches were good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something to be said when Ryback, a guy that, most considered a person that couldn't even talk, he pleasantly surprises you with, the stuff he was doing as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
And even now still, but he's improving.
He'll
never get credit because he came out and we hated him immediately because we thought Goldberg, how that goes. But, I mean, yeah, that's over with. Now he's with Bryan and it's the sky's possibly the limit, but neither one of those guys can be the bad guys, so they have to put Vince as the
bad guy.
Yeah, the bad guy.
Which, I've heard, a lot of people on the internet say, every top star, every guy that becomes a guy has to pretty much go through McMahon, in a storyline. They have to overcome Vince McMahon trying to hold them down. You remember, it started with Austin.
I mean, we can go, yeah.
Triple H. Let's see, John Cena, CM Punk.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart. Yeah, he had to go through, yeah, you know.
He lost. Man.
Yeah.
But
you know, usually the man's on the losing end of these feuds, but, you know.
The Rock. Also.
I
kind of phased out by the time Jericho was, but he helped Jericho.
Yeah, he helped Jericho.
That goes against, but that was still part of the whole keep Austin and Rock away from the belts.
Like, anytime they're going to make a new guy, McMahon's going to be involved. And I think
Cena.
Yeah. I think, like, him being involved with Daniel Bryan shows, you know, his vote of confidence, and then they're turning Triple H into the good guy, pretty much.
Basically saying, like, look, man, which is funny, it's interesting because,
Triple H.
SummerSlam 2011, the whole setup was CM Punk always feeling that Triple H, never always wanted guys that were in his build, you know, the big bulky muscle builder physique, and then he said, let me explain it to you. My best friend Shawn Michaels, you're tripping. No, I believe in small guys, and then like it furthers on to this point to where you look at where like the future of the organization is quote unquote as Triple H is the heir to the throne, and he's looking out for you know more of a meritocracy type to where like the best guys get on.
Alright.
And I mean,
and it's setting up for a good, you know, past versus present. Like, I think it's gonna culminate at, you know, WrestleMania, like this whole Triple H and this McMahon power struggle. And it's gonna go on pretty long.
Are they gonna wrestle?
Nah, I think he'll get somebody to represent him, and that'll be who Triple H fights at WrestleMania, basically, and Triple H will defeat McMahon and go on from there. Like, this McMahon is going to be his last hurrah, like, as far as the storyline, I'm thinking.
Well, we thought the same thing when he, quote-unquote, got fired by the board of directors in 2011
We should have known better.
My point. Yeah. Like, you're saying this, like, this is going to be Finito. Look, man, this man going to come back. That man comes back when he damn well pleases.
Yeah, remember that one time he came out there and fought CM Punk? You know?
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
But Stephanie's talking this corporate makeover session. She's going to be caught in the middle with all this.
Next Monday is going to be the Daniel Bryan show again.
Yeah.
Because of this corporate makeover thing. He's going to have two segments. Watch.
I'd say they need to get the belt off John Cena at any, you know, usually I say that at any time, but it's never been more clear right now. We all see the crowds every week, no matter where they go. It's not just, you know, in New York, in Philly. They can go to South Carolina, and Daniel Bryan is stealing the show, to quote Ziggler. But
at this point,
what are your expectations for the match? I think it's going to be an awesome match.
It's going to have something memorable in it. Whether the match is going to be technically great or it's going to play out with a great conclusion, it's gonna be something memorable. It has to be. I mean, it's SummerSlam for the belt. It's Daniel Bryan's time.
I just wonder if how the hell are they gonna have Daniel Bryan win, because he's a submission guy. His move is submission move. Cena never gives up. They make him pass out or something, or. But then, you know, he goes into saying, I never lost, and all this other stuff.
It's going to be something fitting that's along the lines of how CM Punk won Money in the Bank against Cena. Because every time Punk ever beat Cena, it was always something that was explainable. Like, the Money in the Bank match that they had with the whole, you know, and the backdrop is, my contract ends, I can leave with the championship and go to Japan or wherever. Was like, he sees that they're trying to run a screw job while CM Punk has him in the STFU. He gets out, he clotheslines Laurinaitis, he walks over to McMahon and says, if it goes, however it plays out, it's going to go out the right way. It's going to be pure, basically.
This thing is going to be pure.
And he steps back and he gets lifted up and gets, you know, GTS, and he's pinned 1-2-3. That's memorable. Like, and that explains, like, he kind of got sucker punched, kind of. That's kind of the thing that he kind of got sucker punched.
SummerSlam is foot on the rope.
SummerSlam is the foot on the rope thing. You also have
Night of Champions. The German suplex.
The German suplex, you have that. The triple threat match with Big Show. Big Show had to take the loss. It's always been explained that why CM Punk was able to beat Cena. Yeah. Now, in this instance, it's going to be something along those lines where they have to be able to explain it because they can't justify having a guy that's... What size is Daniel Bryan again?
Like 5'9".
5'9".
180 something. I say he's like 5'9", 185.
He's probably 5'9", 200, whatever. 5'9", 200 versus a guy that's 55 pounds like, on himself. They have to justify that. Like, you gotta keep in mind, they have to make people believe that, you know, the kids or whatever believe this is real. Like, they can't justify that.
I had a question about that with the Lesnar and CM Punk feud, but back to the Daniel Bryan thing. Like, I'm interested in the finish, and there's gonna be something screwy happen. John Cena and Daniel Bryan, neither of them is guaranteed to leave SummerSlam champion. I mean, yeah, like, they could both lose at SummerSlam, so... But,
It's interesting how Vince is playing this. He's playing it to where it's not that I don't want Daniel Bryan to win, it's that I don't want either of them to win.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. So who knows what the hell happens. As far as I'm concerned with Cena's run, I mean, he won the belt. Maybe at this point in his career, he's just meant to hold it for short periods of time and transfer to whoever they think is right for the time, because he's obviously bigger than the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much at this point, it's just a trade off between people to keep feud.
Has there ever been him being around for like this amount of time, like, usually, like, these top guys...
They fall off,
like, right around this, like, kind of time.
Because they get egotistical and they want to put people over.
Well, they get 7 or 8 years, you know, as the man.
Yeah.
And then either for whether it's injury, bad storylines, or it's just, you know, lack of motivation, you know, anymore. Or they need time away. Yeah, they need time away or they're burned out. Cena has... managed to navigate that, you know. I don't really
as well as anybody,
yeah. Like, and you know, people were.
Gee, sick. I wonder if he's gonna get any credit for that ever.
Yeah, like you know, half the crowd is sick with him, half the crowd loves him. I don't know if it's a little bit like Hulk Hogan in the early '90s when people were like, you're just ready to tune him out and go to hell. Like, I think Hogan was still like more. I think Cena's more tolerable right now than Hogan was then. Okay. But his time's gonna come. So they're figuring it out now, like with this whole Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Ziggler, they're building right now. Because they have an important transition about to come on their hands, like at the end of this.
They better start. To be honest with you, they better start hoping that they start landing. You know how me and you talk about this when it comes to the future of the NBA, or even when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL, and we hope that they get replaced.
Yeah.
Like, you always want new blood in. It looks like they're promising. Like, the best thing that happened to the NFL is the fact that they got all in last year. They got four guys like they can carry, that they have the potential to be
champions.
They can't carry the mantle with RG3 and Luck and Kaepernick and I blanked
Wilson.
On one of them. And Wilson. Yeah, like, yeah. They got lucky, because you never know what happens when somebody has to go down. You never know if all of a sudden Randy Orton, you know... What would happen if that weirdo
that freak stabbed him or something.
Yeah, somebody stabbed him Monica Cella style. Like, yeah. You never know what could happen. You never know, you know, with giving CM Punk and Cena's age, when somebody needs to step up, because they're not young.
Yeah.
So, and neither is Ziggler. Ziggler's not even young.
Ziggler's like 31, 32.
Yeah, so you never,
like,
you know how it is with wrestling.
The only young guy.
All it takes is one bad bump.
Only young guys are like Roman Reigns took a bump a la Shawn Michaels in the casket match on Monday night. He came out of the ring, he flipped straight over the top rope and hit his back on the apron. I was like, ooh, like, I was like, hey, they better be careful. Like,
so that's my point. Like, we have ideas and what, you know, what we think of when these guys, you know, are in NXT, or when we see them in elsewhere, and if they only get picked up by WWE and, you know, given the time to learn how to basically wrestle a storyline out through TV for WWE, what can happen with them, it ain't all promised. Like, it takes longer than you think. Well, like, the road for success for Daniel Bryan was a lot longer than you would assume it would have been, given how much love he had on the internet and seeing old clips of him. But, like, he had it. yeah. in the ring, at least, and then, you know, the whole situation happens.
They built the character out of him.
Yeah. So,
with that being said, I'll have my Respect the Beard shirt in the mail, along with my CM Punk BITW shirt. But talking about CM Punk, transition that into Punk versus Lesnar. Punk versus Paul Heyman with Brock Lesnar.
As Heyman's proxy?
Pretty much, yeah. We watched Money in the Bank, and we witnessed the swerve. Him costing CM Punk the Money in the Bank match. Hits him in the ladder, busts him open the hard way. They come out and cut an epic promo the night after.
Heyman was excellent. He was excellent.
Yeah, I think he fried Punk a little bit.
He was just amazing.
How good is this? We had two guys going back and forth on the mic this good, and like, when was the last time?
Last time two guys back to back.
Yeah, like you have, I don't know if you have to go back to Austin versus Rock, or I might be forgetting CM Punk versus Jericho.
CM Punk Jericho was good. Well, I mean, Rock, I felt like Rock. I felt like Rock Punk was really good.
Rock Punk was good, and Rock Sam.
Especially Punk on his end, because he, like, it depended on whoever had the mic last. You were like, damn, that was good. Damn, that was good. You know what I mean?
Well, we were almost watching a rap battle, because like, when he did this whole I Am God thing, like, the internet was on fire for a week.
I Am God was amazing. The one he did when he didn't wrestle at TLC in Brooklyn, that he did, knowing in advance that Punk, that Rock was showing up, like the next week or 2 weeks later,
in Tampa
for Raw, that was epic. The promo that Rock cut right before the Royal Rumble match was epic.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Hell Rock was losing.
Yeah. Remember, I looked at you and said, hey, Rock,
put your hand on the screen.
Yes, he did do that.
Rock went like a preacher, pretty much.
Put your hand in my hand on the screen, and I guarantee you, there was some 7-year-old somewhere that put their hand on that HD plasma. Look. That's the best since then.
Yeah, like, and Paul Heyman, basically, they're weaving real life into the storyline, how about him being the only person to believe in CM Punk backstage. Like, I wonder if that's, like, true, but the way they describe it was CM Punk was just somebody they wanted. They didn't want anybody else to use him, so we'll have him, and then, you know, we'll kill his value, and then, you know, go ahead. But Heyman always fought for this man. And, yep, like, this guy is the next guy, but, you know, Land of the Giants.
I liked CM Punk's promo last Monday. He said, like, I don't really think, now that I'm thinking about it, it's not really about how much he cared about me as much as it was his own ego, thinking that he can turn me into what I become. Mm-hmm. I became, and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So.
But with all that being said, with the great promo work, is Brock's absence hurting this feud at all? Like, he's not really going to do much but show up and kick ass and leave.
I think what's hurting this, I think what's hurting it is the fact that at this point, not only person that Heyman has out there while to come out there with is, I'm not saying anything against him, just where he is in the status, the status of things is Kurt Axel. Like, if he had somebody like a Wade Barrett, who is a main event talent, not saying he is a main event, or saying he has a main event talent, he's had belts on him before, and he has established that he can, you know,
kick some ass.
He won't just job to Punk. He'll actually put on a good match with him. Like, you could have had him out there with talking for. Have Heyman talking for Barrett or somebody else or somebody more established, and then it seems more legit until all of a sudden out of nowhere Brock comes out of nowhere, or it's SummerSlam and you know, there it is. Like, I'm not interested right now in CM Punk trying to chase down Heyman everywhere he goes, and the person that's in his way is Curtis Axel, who's about to get his ass by CM Punk. Yeah. Like, it's not really working for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem believable.
Like, I think they need to throw some type of stipulation on this. Like, if CM Punk wins, like in the old school, like, you get 5 minutes in the ring with Punk and Paul Heyman, and Punk basically gives his comeuppance on him, and they banish, you know, Heyman forever.
That's something I wanted to ask you. Do you think this is we're done with Heyman after this?
Nah, because they're gonna keep him around with Curtis Axel.
think so?
I think they'll keep him around with Curtis Axel, and then as Curtis Axel gets bigger, they'll turn him face, and, you know. But
they're gonna keep using Heyman as just a vehicle to turn people face.
Pretty much. Okay.
I mean, cause remember when Heyman first showed up, that's the first thing I said to you.
Yeah.
They're gonna whenever CM Punk turns back face, you're gonna use Heyman as a vehicle to turn him back face, and sure enough, that's what they did.
Yeah.
Not saying that it was obvious or whatever, but I mean that's obviously something that it's something that was brilliant about having him there.
Yeah, like I say, like Brock's absence in this feud is. It has to go along. Is the mystique of Brock Lesnar like becoming, you know, is it watered down a little bit? Because we've seen him literally do the same thing to every single guy. Like he shows up, you know,
he grabs the mic, he walks up to him like he's been to talk, you know, drops the mic, F5s him, and you already know, and you know it's on.
And then the next week it's like a street fight. You know, just around the ring, Brock Lesnar is uncontrollable, he's an animal, da, 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 da. And then, you know, you get Heyman cutting these promos, and then you get to the match, and it can be very good, and it can be a snoozer.
All the matches have been good except for one.
Like I said, it can be very good, or it can be a snoozer. I'm not worried about CM Punk having a bad match with anyone, but is, like we were talking about in that first part, is any of this actually believable? Because Brock Lesnar would kick CM Punk's ass. Like, yeah, we know, I mean, this. Like, at least when he was fighting Triple H and we was fighting John Cena, if we sat those guys next to each other, we'd be like, okay, you know, that might be a little something. But are they really expecting me to believe that CM Punk's Muay Thai training is really going to do something to this man?
Like, what I think is going to happen is Lesnar's going to end up somehow in an injury sometime before SummerSlam, they explain this, or they're going to make a new DQ, and then early on in the match, CM Punk hits on a limb with something. That's the only, because they have to be able to explain.
He has to submit this man or something, because he's not going to pick him up for GTS and all that. I mean, he can.
He could, but yeah, I mean, yeah. That would be kind of like his Andre the Giant WrestleMania 3 moment, body slam. Yeah.
Like, is Brock's mystique damaged at all right now?
I don't think so.
No,
he's still the quote unquote ass kicker. Last time I checked, he
kicked Triple H's ass.
Yeah, he kicked Triple H's ass and beat him and concussed that man.
Yeah,
okay. Look, he beat him so bad he lost to Johnny Axel. He had to forfeit to Johnny Axel. Curtis Axel. I called him Johnny Axel.
Yeah.
Like this is. I'm trying to think. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's. It's still there. His reputation with the match is still there. Heyman pushes over the top because he. Lesnar ain't got to talk. He has Heyman. He's going to see the vignettes of him, F5 and a million people.
Yeah.
He's going to see him hitting Buddy Triple H in the mouth with the sledgehammer at WrestleMania. So, we're good.
Yeah, that's going to wrap up the first segment. We will be back with more of One Nation Radio.
One Nation Radio!
Welcome back to One Nation Radio. This is one of your hosts, Richard Latta, at Dangerous32. James, what's going on?
Not much. Scrolling down Instagram trying to see some ratchetness. That's all.
Straight flexing.
I'm not flexing on none, but this keeps me thoroughly entertained. But, you know, we got a job to do, so let me put this away.
You know, we the people. this is probably one of my favorite theme songs. In the Federation.
Federation.
Excuse me. The Entertainment. The E.
You can still use Federation, but you can't say WWE.
Yeah, we can't say that.
You gotta get the F out of there.
Alright, exactly. Speaking of favorite music, I played probably like two of my, you know, favorite theme songs, The Shield. Usually when you hear The Shield, it's ass whooping time.
Yeah,
pretty
about
much.
About to get drugged, whooping on, smashed.
And also,
beat him down.
Jack Swagger. As soon as I heard it, I was like, this man, Jim Johnson, is like on another level. Like,
same thing. I was like, that was, I loved it the second I heard it. I wish it came out earlier, you know, back when
we were kids.
Yeah, pretty much. Because you know how it is now. Back then, the soundtracks were so good between, you know, like the music from The Undertaker, The Generation X, The Rock's music. You obviously had the Bret Hart stuff. So, I mean, it was so
coming
good.
Up in
all
the future,
WWE stuff was so good. Or back when F, it was so good.
What we going to do? We're going to do a little tournament of the best theme songs of
Of all time. Totally subjective to two black guys, huh?
We need to bring one more person on.
Yeah, because that'll make it more representative as a third person supposed to just two, right?
No, we can call up Josh, and, you know, we'll vote, basically, like, you know, so it can't be a tie, you know. The third person will be a tiebreaker, and we'll come up with, you know, 32, probably, songs, and we will, you know, do that.
And determine, Austin, I'm sorry. Yeah, that Glassbreak, you already knew what it was.
And determine, you know, the best, you know, kind of theme music, you know, how it made you feel, you know. And just, you know, the rawness of it. I'm a fan of punk's music, even though, you know, it's just a rock song from the late 80s and early 90s, because everything fits him, you know, pretty well with it. I like his old music, too.
I like the old music immediately. I mean, I don't need to know what the words of the song is. I don't care.
Yeah. And, of course, Jericho, Break the Walls Down.
Yes.
When I was younger, I used to like the Nation of Domination, you know. And with The Rock, you know, The Rock says, The Rock says, know your damn role. Degeneration X, possibly my favorite.
The X-Pac one.
Degeneration X.
Triple H, obviously, Time to Play the Game, the Bow Down to the Kings, the music he had before that one, the one he's had for years, that one was tight too.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a pretty solid topic.
Billy Gunn's music.
Yeah, Ass Man. You know, according to Bill Simmons, one of the 10 greatest of all time,
which is absurd.
So, and of course Bret Hart's, which maybe that day I'll go ahead and play the Bret Hart instrumental I made. Actually, I need to email you that.
The one I've been asking you to track out for. We digress. Continue. Yeah.
But we went on a 2-minute rant, you know, just about music, but we came up with a new topic about it. This is gonna be our rapid fire kind of thing. I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kind of little topics or whatever.
Okay.
If we happen to, you know, stumble into something else, you know, we apologize. But y'all here now. Which we
probably will.
But first thing, you know, I want to get to is welcome back RVD. Rob Van Dam, Money in the Bank. He's back better than ever.
I don't know about better than ever, but he's definitely reinvigorated because, you know.
He still got it.
Yeah, I remember especially that Jericho match. Like, it was crazy about that match was how good it was. And you could tell that Rob.
They were doing it for them.
That Rob was just gassed. Like, he was gassed. You know, he's out here. That man's on autopilot. He's out here just all muscle memory, trying to, like, as tired as he was, trying to get through that match. And it was great. And, you know, in typical Jericho fashion, he put him over. It was great.
Jericho don't care about wins and losses.
Yeah, obviously.
Rob Van Dam debuted a new move I had never seen him do, like that front flip directly off the top rope. I was like, oh, what is he doing? I thought he was gonna break his neck when he was doing it, but Rob Van Dam came back and, you know, he got a crazy pop at Money in the Bank. He put on a great show at Money in the Bank. That match with Jericho, he's fought Del Rio. He's probably going to go into something with Fandango right now.
Yeah.
But Rob Van Dam, you know, he's like, I want to say he's like 42, 43 years old. He's, you know, he's not what he once was, obviously, but he's damn sure close.
My whole thing is like, it's like a breath of fresh air. I mean, obviously, you know, given his skill set and everything, it can kind of be a bit grotesque when he gets in the ring and he does his thing sometimes. Like, watching him back now, and, you know, as long as they keep pairing him with good talent,
and let's just have good matches.
Original, it'll be fine. Because, you know, sometimes he'll be out there with somebody he's just supposed to go over with quick on, you know, so like a, you know, like a 10-minute match, and it can get like, okay, I know that spot's coming, I know that spot's coming, I know that spot's coming, I know that spot's coming. So it kind of get overdone, with, you know, because the complexity to his stuff, and it kind of gets... Like, okay, you know, this you kind of get supposed to give the illusion that this is real when you're out here looking like N1 mixtape. You're the N1 mixtape of ass kicking. Like, people kind of don't want to believe this shit is real. You know what I mean? So, it's good. So, you know, as long as he stays around some talent and keeps some new things and, you know, obviously counters to his spots and everything, he'll be fine.
All right. Who are you, with Jericho being gone now, who are you looking forward to seeing him wrestle?
See, like I said to you, after the match they had on Raw, I was saying, like, maybe they should have a thing to where they basically have, like, a best of five until the best of five and the fifth match being at SummerSlam, but,
right.
You know, CM Punk, but Jericho left. That kind of sucks. I mean, just put him with anybody that's young. And then let's see what happens from there. Right. So I'm okay with Fandango. I mean, Fandango, we all know Fandango can wrestle. Just obviously, do you like his gimmick or not? At this
point, it's absolutely just hilarious. Like,
I like how he trolls. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm all for the troller. So, I mean, unless it's like somebody that I think can't cut the mustard.
Yeah.
So, like 3MB, like, y'all are great at trolling, but none of y'all move the needle for me. So, like, I'm off that. So, you know, Fandango, yeah, I'm all about that Fandango life.
I'd like to see, you know, just him and as James hits the Fandango moves. I like to see him get in there with Langston. You know, I like to see the power versus the, you know, the flying around, all that flying around he does. Langston is, you know, catch him out the air.
Yeah,
you know. Have you know, RVD and Kane kind of reunite, you know.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
How good would it be for Rob Van Dam to walk up on Kane in the locker room and be like, "Oh, I see you put your mask back on," you know? That would be absolutely, like, within that universe we talked about that one time, like, that has
retroactive continue at it.
Yeah, that has to be on the agenda. I hope somebody thinks of that.
I mean, that if this was Daniel Bryan would have did this.
Yeah.
I would like to see him with Ziggler eventually, whenever he comes off of this Biggie Langston AJ situation.
Them being both faces, I don't know how that'll work, but...
Oh, you can... Look, Ziggler's a face, but he didn't change the way he acts and the way he jumps people. Like, the way he jumped on Jericho a few weeks ago is absurd. So, like...
They were confused then.
Like, I mean, they did a double switch, and, you know, he's still acting like a heel.
He's fighting heels. So I'll say that.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, we're at a point now to where it's getting awfully close. I mean, going to the point you were mentioning earlier, and you want to talk about as far as. A lot of these guys, as far as if you want to make a designation for them, most of these guys are now all faces, pretty much.
Yeah.
As far as when it comes to the top talent.
The top guys, like, we got all faces. Sheamus, Orton, Punk, Bryan, Cena. Hell, Big Show may come back as a face. Henry's a face.
Yeah. Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Mark Henry, who went away for forever and came back and demolished people, then went away for a few, little bit. Act like he was going to announce retirement. Came back and whooped on...
World's Strongest Swerve, by the way.
Yeah. That's another heel move. And now it took the Shield, and now, he's a face again for the first time in like a year, and over a year. Hall of Pain, when he was out here shelving... You remember when he shelved Kane and he shelved Big Show like 2 years ago? Yeah, he's been a heel for a long time.
Did we say Orton along with that face? So,
yeah, you
mentioned someone's turned... Van Damme. Someone has got to turn soon to start just balancing out the scales, because... The bad guys are the Shield, Del Rio,
Ryback,
Lesnar,
who only wrestles like three times a year.
Yeah, if that's where it's at with heel and Mr. McMahon, you know, who is now the heel.
Yeah, for now, until he, you know, once it's over, like once SummerSlam's over, he's gonna go off TV. He's gonna come back. He's gonna be a face, and next time we see him, 6 months from now, 7 months from now,
he's gonna be doing that McMahon walk.
Yep. Swaggering down the ramp.
Money in the Bank winners, Randy Orton and Damian Sandow.
Yep.
The Sandow versus Rose feud, pretty nice, has a little nice ring to it. I think they should put the briefcase up in a ladder match at SummerSlam. I don't know if they'll let them steal the show like that. But that whole feud is pretty nice how they built it. I didn't really see it coming when it happened, but as soon as we saw Sandow hiding in the corner, I think me and you both knew.
Yep, we were like, Sandow's about to sneak off and try and win this thing, and it, like somebody is going to come down to one of those two and end up winning, and it's going to ruin their friendship.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a feud. I would like for them to have that ladder match, and or they have a match at some point and it's on the line, and somehow Cody Rhodes ends up with the Money in the Bank because he needs it. Like, yeah. I don't think...
I don't know how you make a champion out of Sandow like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't understand. I don't know, barring some type of unforeseen strike of brilliance, I don't see how they're going to be able to turn him face and not be, like, completely contrived.
I just want to know, why the hell can't we ever get Rhodes and Ziggler on opposite sides? One of them is heel, the other one's heel. One goes face, the other one turns face.
And that was funny because that was supposed to, we thought that was going to be a WrestleMania match for last WrestleMania back in around, SummerSlam of last year. We thought like, that's going to be
by that time, somebody will be a face.
And we thought one of those guys was going to end up being a face, and they were going to fight each other. But it seems like they just keep each other away from it. I feel like they felt like they needed to get Ziggler a bigger push, which they did, and they put him around bigger guys. Like he was with Cena towards the end of the year. They put him on Del Rio to get him belt for
two months,
basically.
Poor Ziggler.
And now they're working him out as, you know, this guy that's now putting people, are trying to make, now he's a guy that's trying to build Langston, yeah. So
Langston is excellence.
So in the meantime, they haven't had much of anything for Cody Rhodes over time other than him throwing him at a
Rhodes
time.
Scholar's jobbing.
It seemed like a random tag team pairing.
Yeah.
Along the lines of which they do with Hills, which is along the lines of what's going on right now with the Real Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So
which are pretty much, they're going to step into that, you know, spot that they had. Orton is basically, as you coined the term, the get out of jail free card with, you know, as far as if they want to weave his storyline into with Daniel Bryan, if they want to have him cashing on Daniel Bryan, or hell, cashing on Cena.
I don't know who he's going to cash in on. All I know is I hope it's sooner rather than later. Like, I hope it's sometime in the next, I hope it's sometime, like, at least before Survivor Series.
Because
I don't really think you want to try to have people, I don't, you got to give him enough time to where he gets the belt, goes on a run, comes off the belt by by Royal Rumble, and then he goes off to have something with somebody else for WrestleMania, because I can't imagine at this point them ever believing in him enough to, or trusting him enough to give him the belt
in WrestleMania.
And WrestleMania, and him to transfer it off to somebody, or him to carry it through, because as much as I love Orton and what he did, but then in the build he was going to have going into the second quarter of last year, once he caught that wellness strike again, like it was almost like apparent, like I don't think they're ever going to trust him again, because they put him in the doghouse for a full year,
mm-hmm. and like
over a full year,
and a lot of the internet was pretty angry about. We never actually say the internet was happy about anything except Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, but
and Ziggler,
They were furious that night on the internet when Orton won, and I started going to war with everyone immediately.
But my whole thing was this: like, my whole thought was either Brian's going to win it, or they're going to put Brian onto the belt after. And my whole thing was, if they don't give it to Brian, I mean, so be it. He's eventually going to get his shot, because you see the way it's setting up, the way he's just carrying segments. Time after time, and sure enough, the very next night,
exactly,
and then everybody's maybe it wasn't so bad a thing. Now it's perfect for him, because if he had just won it flat out, or he just won Money in the Bank, he cashes in eventually, and then they're gonna treat him
terrible.
Like, they're gonna treat him like he was this basically like he got lucky type deal, as opposed to now he can win the belt.
And possibly get robbed and hop into another storyline for that belt.
And while he's still hot, exactly. Get his rematch and everything and start a feud. Like, it's more beneficial for him this way.
Because remember, people, they are trying to make money. if we get a Daniel Bryan Randy Orton feud for the belt, you know, in the next couple pay-per-views, people are going to want to see that. You know, because it's a golden boy and an internet guy. So,
and you also in the fact of the stuff they were doing with each other for the previous or for a certain amount of time before they even got to the pay-per-view, like, you know, it's almost like they were doing, like, they were testing it out, like, to see how the world will work, and I think it will work out very well. Me now, I've lost my train of thought. What else was next on the list?
The Wyatt family and the Shield.
Oh God! Can we just okay? Go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. I was in, I want to say it's probably like 60-40 on people being mad about the Husky Harris chance. I was probably in that 40% that wasn't mad about it, because these are the same people that chanted Rocky sucks and Sexual Chocolate and Albert at Tensai. It was okay then, you know, to make fun of somebody like that. But Husky Harris, oh no. If it's all because it's the internet guy, because we like him, you know, collectively he's liked on the internet, it's blasphemous for anyone to, you know, chant Husky Harris. We're ruining him, ruining the gimmick is a big one I heard. If he's really that good, as y'all say he is, he will rise above it, and we'll never hear it again. And we haven't heard it since, because he's actually, you know, they've hopped into action a little bit. You know, they whooped some ass, but whoop-dee-doo. You know, people whoop ass all the time. What's so impressive about, what is it that everyone is so obsessed about the Wyatts with? Their presentation is great, but are they doing anything really different in the ring than the Shield did then? And I feel like the Shield was better, because they were going at their main eventers.
Okay. You know, I'm not really into the whole NXT thing. My thing is, once you get home from the D League, you get to the quote unquote league, and you're going against the top talent. Then that's when it matters, because I don't really care about you fighting some guys that, you know, they're probably never going to make it, only are going to be there forever, toiling around and never find what they're trying to get to. When I first heard about the whole thing about the gimmick, I was like, okay, a bunch of country over religious crazy nuts from the South. Great. Okay, cool. I like their vignettes. I like the way they come out. Like, it's like almost on some paranormal type of horror movie type deal.
And the entrance music is great.
Yeah, because it's eerie. That's why it works. With the camp light and everything. However, we're going to point to, at the third time, seeing the same thing happen where they say, we're here, they come out, walk with the weird music, and they both set up in the same spot with somebody in the middle of the ring. It's the third time now, the same thing. Like, at least come out just out of nowhere and whoop somebody's ass. Like, now it's just becoming very redundant. And this comes from somebody who, you know, is down with Undertaker taking 7 minutes to walk to the ring every time. I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand the lack of self-awareness when it comes to that. But at the same time,
why is ain't no Undertaker?
They were sold on the internet, at least from what I hear, and what you've told me, is they're being sold as they're supposed to be some original, like, innovators or whatever. It's like, okay, we've had cults before. We've had the Brood. They're not the Brood. I understand that. We've had, you know, the religious types. We've had a group of three gigantic people come out here and whoop all ass. We've had this for what, and it was, the thing that's weird to me is
because the beards?
I don't understand. It's kind of like a slow build, and they only put them on the Kane and R-Truth and
Justin Gabriel. Slater 3 and B.
Yeah, they put them on the small guys. Like, it, with the whole thing that's interesting to me is, where does this go from here? When are we going to get to the point?
And why the hell is he rambling incoherently, pretty much, in these promos? And they're the greatest things ever.
Another thing that gets me is, how do you not pace this or set this to the point to where you slow this down and you never bring them out until you break up the Shield, because the Shield does the same exact thing, only a lot better.
Yeah. and the Shield ain't going out there and talking about bullshit. Like, the Shield has come out there, you know, like, you know what they're about. Their form of justice. What the hell is the Wyatt family about? Like,
I don't
the brothers
know.
And sisters and posing and beards?
Follow the buzzards.
Follow the buzzards, whatever that means.
And, like, another thing is, what's going to happen when we come to find out, like, the veil gets open and we find out, oh, all these guys are just three big brawling people. Like, oh, great, we got three more guys that the internet will consider stiffs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, with Bray Wyatt, I heard he can wrestle, but...
The other two, they look like sniffs.
Yeah.
They're like henchmen.
So what I'm hearing is, you know, they're pretty good, you know, but I ain't about to go back and watch, you know, their cheese grater matches, you know.
We'll see.
I'm not about to go watch that.
I'm so far 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10.
Yeah, so far 4 out of 10.
The Shield. Have they lost a little steam?
Yeah, because they broke them up. They've broken them up to where now it's, you know.
Do you know what I was saying now about giving them those belts? Like, because everyone thought it was such a good idea to give them that, you know, give Ambrose the United States title.
I didn't think it was a good idea to give them small belts. Like, I felt like you should have either, because now they have to lose.
Exactly.
They have to lose now, and then they have to continue on and start fighting. They're going to lose. They're going to break them up, and then they're going to have to go on from there. Like, I would have rather kept them going, trying to figure something out as far as let them all have their own individual matches and let them be a stable when they come out and help their own. I mean, maybe they felt like that, given how big the roster is, that's a lot of TV time to give to one quote-unquote faction.
Mm-hmm.
But they could have done something. They could have. I just didn't like it. I just did not like breaking them up this early. Because they're going to lose luster. I mean, maybe they want to kind of break off Ambrose quickly, and if that's the case, then it makes sense. But I kind of like the package.
Yeah.
Pause.
What would you think about turning Ambrose face? Like, say, you know, like he develops this, like, this cockiness or whatever, develops whatever that makes, you know, Rollins and Reigns. You know, I feel like those two will be more natural baby faces. But seeing how they're a tag team and they, you know, they have belts together, they whooped Ambrose's ass basically, and, you know, Ambrose basically turns into like an Austin type face, where, you know, he's kind of, you know, anti-establishment. And
so basically, if he's a face, he's going to be another anti-hero.
Pretty much, yes.
So it's going to be okay. I don't know if, I mean, obviously, you know, when we first started trying to do this show, we wanted to be more of a pop culture show.
Yeah.
And pretty, we really, you know, we kind of expanded with the music lately, but we never really got to film or TV.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in TV right now is there a lot of the protagonists in all these shows, main shows, are anti-heroes. Whether it's the main character, Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad, or it's Don Draper in Mad Men, or it's Piper from Orange is the New Black. All these people are these anti-heroes. Like, they come from these bad situations, or they're quote unquote guys you're in the room for, but they're doing bad stuff all along the way. Same for Kevin Spacey's character in House of Cards, even though he's the evil side of all of them.
Right.
So it's just, it's even more anti-hero. It's even more like you already have your CM Punk there. So it's, where are we going?
Yeah, it's like the Shield.
Or where would we be going if we did that?
Good point.
Like, think about it, like, we have Ziggler, who's, he acts like a, like I said, he's an anti-hero. He acts like a heel still. But he gets cheered.
The Shield is probably one of the best factions, but they're being mishandled. Like, the second I saw them fighting the Usos, I was like, I like the Usos, like their music, like them as a tag team.
Ooh, so.
But I can't help but to think that's a step down for the Shield.
It is.
You know, I'm hearing they have backstage heat, whatever, but I just hope that they figure something out with them.
See, if they had came up with better... back in the time when they were actually working on the tag team division, when they were trying to come up with some opponents for Team Hell No to wreck, if they had kept that going, then it would look like they had some real competition for Reigns and Rollins, because like they have the Usos at this point, Team Hell No is gone, or is dissolved. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston went their own way. Sandow and Rose, they split up. So, like,
you got tons all of Punk, tons prime of, time players.
And that's it. And those two, and, like, you can't take that seriously to primetime players with Shield. That's almost like 1997 versus 1994 as far as like the cartoon versus the reality, and it's almost like cognitive dissonance at the same time.
Right.
So, and you can't put a heel tag team versus another heel tag team
because it'll be a clusterfuck. Like as far as the
even if the Shield are the bad guys, everybody cheers because they're internet darlings. It's still not good work. It's still not good look.
Like they're trying to make money. Next thing, Jericho, wrapping up his latest stint in WWE this year.
I hope he's back in time for SummerSlam. What do you mean?
What I'm hearing is he could possibly be back by like Survivor Series, because I think his tours end around then. But I know damn sure he better be at WrestleMania 30.
He needs to be back by next week.
I'd love to see him on Monday Night Raw. I'm a self-professed.
Sorry, it's not Monday Night Raw. It's Raw is Jericho, sir.
Correct. I'm a self-professed Jericho-holic. Have been for a decade and a half. Jericho's this year. There was a lot of good. I was kind of wondering. You know. I was disappointed when he had to fight Fandango, a guy who had, you know, never wrestled before at WrestleMania when, you know, I thought we could have got Jericho versus Ziggler.
Who did Ziggler end up fighting at WrestleMania?
He was in a tag team match against Team Hell No.
That's right. That match we knew they had no chance of winning.
Yes. The match that meant nothing in the long run. Jericho went into it with Punk, Payback, Great Jericho this year.
For me, he's been one of the four best in-ring performers of the year. Like it's Bryan, it's Jericho, it's Punk. Even though Punk took 2 months off, and it's Ziggler. Those are the four best in-ring guys like on a consistent basis throughout the year. If we start going through matches of the year right now, like I don't think there's a single match other than maybe. Ryback Cena in the last man, the first one, other than that, that's the only match I can think of that where those four aren't named in those matches. Like you had main event with Ziggler and Del Rio, that was ridiculous. You had
CM Punk and Cena.
That's
match of the year right now.
CM Punk and Cena, the lead into who's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. You have Jericho versus CM Punk. You have Jericho versus Daniel Bryan.
Punk versus
you have RVD. Yeah, Punk Undertaker. You have RVD versus Jericho. Jericho. That just happened. It's those are the four.
Talk about the way that I marked out at the Royal Rumble.
We all did, pretty much.
The whole entire bar
lost its shit that was there for wrestling when he came out number two.
All of a sudden,
the funniest thing was I rewatched it the other day, watching him come out at two, and the crowd lost it just as much as we did.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh shit, we thought he was gone. Yeah. Baby. You know, he's like, yeah, I fooled you all, baby.
Yeah, I never lost it, baby.
So, yeah, that was a great moment.
Like,
and that's the thing with WrestleMania. The main thing. I'm sorry, Royal Rumble. It's about who wins, who lasts the longest, and the surprises.
And also the
great escapes people have to avoid getting eliminated.
Yeah, usually that's the Kofi Kingston hour.
Kofi Kingston moment of the year.
Remember when Goldust came out and Rose was like, yes, run it, you know, the Godfather coming out there, you know, eliminate while the music's still playing, but that's okay, you know, because I got these here ladies of the night.
Ladies of the night.
You know, I didn't want to say the other word, but Jericho, you know, he showed up in Elimination Chamber doing his thing. He showed up in, you know, Royal Rumble and lasted, you know, very, very long. Was he in the Final Four, I think?
I think he was the third to last eliminated. And in the key mind, the year before, then he was the last person eliminated.
Yeah. So, I'd love to see him come back and just win a Royal Rumble for the hell of it. But, you know, I always want to see Jericho win, but they like to use him to build, you know, the young guys, and he has no problem with that. He got a great match, he got a good match out of Ryback. He got, you know, his revenge on Fandango at at Extreme Rules, which that match was better than the WrestleMania match. I was pretty disappointed, but
hey, they can't all be classics. If they're all classics in there and they ain't classics, then that's just the bar.
Yeah,
that's just the standard.
Long live Y2J. And Dolph Ziggler, his face turned thoughts. We get Zig versus Big, you know, with it, with AJ and all that. This love that they're teasing with Biggie Langston and AJ now, like,
oh god, that's not gonna happen.
She's saying, you know, you like me, you really like what, you know, I do.
That's, I feel like that's gonna turn him off her. Where she says, I've had enough of you. Like, I really feel like it. Probably by the end of SummerSlam, we're gonna get to the point to where Sam or Ziggler goes over Biggie Langston, and it's gonna be AJ's cause of it, and AJ's gonna act like, you know, you care about me too much. He's like, I had enough of you too. I'm tired of being your muscle and your bodyguard, and you have to deal with Caitlyn on your own. So get it like the Red Cross,
yeah.
And then Caitlyn's gonna take the belt off her again, and then Nate's gonna have to scramble trying to find out what she needs to do while being, you know, the number one most visible diva they have.
Yeah.
Maybe she goes back to actually wrestling. That might be a novel concept.
Poor Natalya. Poor Naomi. Ziggler is turning face. The double switch with Del Rio. I thought it was. Unless you were paying attention.
I liked it at the time, but I don't like now that they didn't give him a rematch.
Yeah.
That's my only problem.
Well, he did get his rematch, but he got fucked. Twice.
That, well, that's my point. Oh, yeah. They didn't, like, they gave you a garbage finish. Like, they went on, like,
that match was good.
Instead of resolving what they had, what they should have did and ran that, they could have ran that until SummerSlam. What they did was they basically got off of that and just swerved. Like, You know how I am when they don't finish our stuff. It's like important. Like, they just mm-hmm. left it. No. Maybe you'll come back to it some other time. Probably not though.
Yeah, Ziggler is, you know. Unfortunate, Jack Swagger had to kick him in the head with the concussion, because I felt like that threw a wrench in all the storylines.
I kind of feel like the SummerSlam finish was supposed to be I feel like the Money in the Bank finish was supposed to happen at Payback, and
right.
it got delayed, and they didn't know what to do, but they knew they only wanted Del Rio with Ziggler from the night after WrestleMania until Money in the Bank, and they said, we have to we want you to be, you know, broken off from Big E Langston and AJ by that time, and they said, screw it, we got something, we got, like, if they're coming up ahead or something, they have something for Ziggler later, it would be like, oh, that's what it was. They actually had a time frame for him to be tussling with Del Rio, and then when he got kicked he got a concussion and threw things off, so they couldn't get a clean finish on their feud.
Yeah, Del Rio. The belt always comes back to Del Rio, pretty much.
Okay, now that he's a heel again, how do you feel like it's the same, like he's the same person, or you think he's better for it now?
He is a more logical heel now. It makes a lot more sense than him just, you know, us being mad at him because he has a whole bunch of money and he's arrogant and he doesn't really have a motive. Now he has a motive where he feels deserted by, you know, fans, you know, for right or wrong. And, you know, he's acting based on logic, which is, oh, you're going to cheer this guy for cashing in on me. But when, you know, I whoop that man's ass with the fair one, basically, y'all boo me, basically. Yeah. And y'all don't love me. Y'all don't love Del Rio, you know. So, you know what? The hell with y'all.
I feel like to justify how he's had the belt so many times, the face turn was like the best thing that ever happened to far justify a light. Like, when you watch him as a heel, the way he works, and then the way he works as a face, his moveset as a face is it's unbelievable, the stuff he can do. And now that he's a heel, and you see how the way he's more tactical now, like with the kicks and the strikes, like it's so much more vicious looking than when he first was a heel for that long run he had.
Yeah.
And now it makes more sense. Like I feel like he's more logical. It makes more sense with his moveset and everything. It's got more refined. Like he's better for it, for going through what he went through, and coming back around.
At the same time, has the world title ever felt more unimportant right now? He's about to fight Christian at SummerSlam.
Okay.
For the WCW belt.
I don't understand.
The big gold. Ric Flair's title.
You know how I feel. All's forgiven, they put on a good match, and those two have put on good matches in the past. So if they put on a good match, all's forgiven. I understand, you know, Christian, his profile, and the fact he was gone for so long, his team kind of off.
Silence.
That he's, you know, he has no... There's nothing to him at this point, and he's just the vet that's there.
Don't tell that to the internet. They want him to have one more match, one more title reign.
I don't understand, at this point now, maybe they just felt like we can't possibly put Sheamus or Orton onto Del Rio because they had lengthy feuds last year, and it's kind of like we figuring out the same thing all over again. So they had to put him with somebody, and they chose Christian. Like, we'll see how this goes, but...
It ain't going to be much more than good matches.
It feels like they're a guy short right now as far as guys that...
They have a guy. They have Rob Van Dam. That would be perfect.
You don't think it's too early?
The kicks versus the kicks?
You don't think it's too early, though?
But for SummerSlam? I mean...
You don't think it's too early for SummerSlam, seeing that he just came back, and he just came back, one month notice. He's all
that
sudden.
That man rolled out of bed and was in a Money in the Bank match. So,
but you know what that is? They put eight guys in each of those matches. Yeah. They put Christian in one of those matches too.
Yeah.
So you get what I'm saying now?
Yeah, Christian was in the WWE title, and all of a sudden, you know, world belt. It's amazing how that works.
There's no brand. Look, that's the best thing they ever did was get rid of those brands. They should have did it earlier.
I wasn't watching them, but I heard it was a pretty good run that they had with it because they were able to make 2 month storylines because it was like every other month, like aside from the big, no, you know, four or five.
No, I meant like at the time being, like when we came back to watching, it was obvious seeing that, you know,
it was the very end.
Like it was the very end of it, and they should have got rid of it earlier because they were caught to where they had to use guys that were like go way down the roster and try to figure out things as far as like when they had.
R-Truth.
Like when they were doing like those beat the clock challenges, and they were doing the whole vacant belt thing when CM Punk had left or whatever. It was apparent that they needed. And then you had situations where they were doing the Super SmackDown thing, and then when you like knew like okay, this branch is about to go out the window soon. When they had Randy Orton out here while carrying SmackDown, also wrestling on Mondays too. Like and you know. Anytime CM Punk or Cena decided to show up on, you know, on the Tuesday taping of SmackDown, you know, they had to make it an event that they showed up. Oh, like, tune in, like, The Rock or CM Punk or Cena's going to show up. Meanwhile, like, you have all those guys that are SmackDown, like Sheamus and Orton or Del Rio, they were wrestling twice a week.
Yeah.
That wasn't fair.
Yeah.
Like twice the work to fight for the lower belt, the number two belt. Like, and I'm only a little number two belt. That wasn't fair. Obviously, you know I am with the old meritocracy, but it was starting to become like to where the rosters were uneven too.
Right. One more thing I want us to go in about is, you know, we haven't had the show in a while, but something that did happen was The Rock was named to be on the cover of the video game WWE 2K14, and that sparked a lot of outrage. I just have one question, James. What exactly do you do to earn a video game cover?
Be there. That's it. Be there.
Like, do you think guys like go to the ring with the intent of, hey, I want to be on the video game cover?
Nope, but I will say this: probably being on the cover, they probably get a performance bonus. It probably, you know how they have WrestleMania bonuses or whatever, and you get paid more about actually earning the belt. It's probably something like that where they get paid. My whole thing is, they just had Orton on the cover after the year after he was great for that, where the year was basically his. They the following year they put him on the brand new cover. The year of Punk, he is up on the next cover. Unless you're going to give it to Daniel Bryan, what are we complaining about?
Yeah. And guess what?
Guess he'll be on the cover next year for WWE 2K15. It'll probably be Daniel Bryan. So what are we really complaining about?
Yeah. There's like, you know, he doesn't deserve it. You know, he comes and leaves.
Here's my thing when it comes to all this stuff. Hey, I'm sorry, but I never lived on a planet where deserve got you anything. You get what you get. You don't get what you deserve. You get what you get.
Yeah.
And he's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest.
Yeah, have to come back.
He's arguably the greatest star we've ever had.
Yeah.
So, for him not to be on the cover is kind of like, come on now, get over it.
Like he's under contract right now with us.
Yes.
Or with wrestling, you know.
Nobody have no objections to like Undertaker being on the cover.
You know.
You wouldn't get nearly as much grief. Nearly as much.
I would have liked to see Jericho on the cover, just, you know, for my own personal...
Yeah, no, like, Jericho, like, no one even cared. Like, meanwhile, yeah. Jericho, like, all he does is put people over. He never wins.
Yeah. But it's just the different hypocrisies of the IWC, which is...
They quit to yell out, you know, Fat Albert, but, you know, Husky Harris, no, how dare you.
Yeah.
Like, look, man, he had a whack gimmick coming out. He's somebody we're supposed to clown on. I ain't trying to hear that.
Well, y'all say Rocky sucks, so I don't know, man. Like you telling me motherfuckers wasn't calling Stone Cold Steve Austin the Ringmaster back in the day?
Oh, they were.
Really? Like,
come on now, Isaac Yankum.
Yeah, you know, Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah, John Laurinaitis and his skateboard.
Yeah, it's so bad to clown on old gimmicks until it's their guy.
Yep. Nick Namath in the Spirit Squad.
Spirit Squad.
Yeah, like, that was dope.
You know, let's just start some chaining Spirit Squad when Dolph Ziggler comes out and see if it gets everyone mad.
How dare y'all get out of here with that crap?
But we like to think of ourselves as, you know, the realists. In this fake world of wrestling.
I still don't understand how people don't get this. Like, okay. Video games are bought by everybody for all age brackets. If you're trying to sell the fact of it's all about how big somebody was the year before and you're rewarding them, you know, after the fact... If you're trying to sell a wrestling video game and you're trying to sell to as many ages as possible to buy it, if you're of our age group and you don't watch wrestling anymore, are you going to buy it? Are you even thinking of buying one with Daniel Bryan on the cover? Are you going to buy one because it's a Rock on the cover? And you remember the Rock and you're like, oh yeah, Rock did wrestle in WrestleMania. He did have the belt just recently, you know.
Rock wrestling again?
Exactly. Like you're more likely that's more likely to grab you some attention than having Daniel Bryan on the cover.
And oh, who's
like
that guy?
Daniel Bryan right now is my favorite. Is probably my favorite wrestler of the year. So you gotta people don't think of this as busy. They always think of it's supposed to be this, it's supposed to be that. Like, hey man, like
you're not
paying this man's bills, bro. Like, yeah. Step off.
Like y'all childhood is over. You know, like.
And I know we sound. I know we sound like, you know, we're assholes or whatever. But hey, I mean,
well, I think about what we're saying.
You put Daniel Bryan on the cover, and you see how to use a workout as far as trying to sell to just a random casual fan.
Y'all think y'all know? You know, when the last time y'all dropped a video game?
Like I'm pretty sure they do test marketing for that kind of stuff for who they want to put on the cover. And I'm pretty sure they came to the conclusion that we need to put a Rock on here.
And you know. I don't know anybody that's actually ever played a cover of the game.
Would you rather have Cena on it?
Good question.
We could leave on that note, or do you want to keep going?
I actually did want to talk about Ultimate Warrior in the video game. Ultimate Warrior going to be in the video game this year. I can't wait to have a squash match with someone with them. I always thought the YouTube clip I showed you the other day. I always thought this Andre the Giant Ultimate Warrior wrestling for 30 seconds thing was a Bret Hart gag. Like, Andre and Warrior go out there for 30 seconds. Like, I thought that was, you know, Bret Hart being Nas, basically. But I stumbled upon a YouTube video where Andre the Giant comes out to the ring. Warrior's music hits. Warrior is sprinting down the hall backstage
yeah.
out into Madison Square Garden in the ring. He runs around the whole ring, nice. Hops in the ring once, hops in the ring, looks at Andre the Giant, basically, and he's, like, running back and forth. Andre the Giant turns around, makes fun of him to the ref, and, like, starts shaking the ropes. Warrior clotheslines him once, clotheslines him, like, two more times, big splashes him, counts 1, 2, 3, the match is over.
The bell never rang.
And the bell never rang.
But the match is over.
Like, I was like, what? What is this? Like, and, you know, apparently they did that at house shows around the country for like a year, or like a solid year.
Wow.
Like, trying to build Warrior up, basically, before he ended up winning that belt from Hogan.
Against Andre?
Against Andre the Giant, yes. Wow. Yes, Andre the Giant. And I thought that was like a myth. Like, I didn't know it existed. Like, there's a video, you guys can go, you know, pull this up. It's like four minutes and 12 seconds long, if I'm not mistaken. And that's, like, including the intro. And the music never stops.
And it includes, like, the ref throwing out Heenan.
Yeah.
Heenan. I'm just, damn, I can't talk.
Heenan. Heenan. Yeah, the music never stops, by the way. Like, that one might be a number one seed in that tournament. But next wrestling show, we're going to come back with that music tournament. We're going to start gathering stuff up, and I'm going to try to put together a bracket and all that stuff, and we're going to it'll be the first time.
Are we doing only WWE, or are we doing WCW stuff like Goldberg, Sting, Harlem Heat?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We can do that. You know, that original Goldberg music is pretty tough.
You know, DDP stealing that
Nirvana. Hey, I thought it was funk.
Bang! Yeah, I know. Like, to the listeners, I'm not really the biggest Diamond Dallas Page fan in the world. I always thought he's whack, but you know.
Bang! The Sting music that. There's a lot of tight wrestling music out there.
The Four Horsemen music was tight.
Yep. And of course, the NWO music. It's just something about that music. I say it every time. So, it's going to be pretty epic on this wrestling.
Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah.
Voodoo Child.
Yep. So, with that being said, we're going to get up out of here. This is One Nation Radio. I'm James. No, I'm not. What? I'm Rich. That's James.
You're James?
Apparently.
All right, well, I'm Dick Lotta signing off. Later.
Right. All right, man. On Nation Radio.